Put your hands together for the King of Kings. The Lord is good. All the time. Amen. We're glad to see our pastor. Thank God for Johnny Mercy. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Okay. How many of us have received a pen like this? If you have not received one, please request for one. Everyone should have a pen like this. This is a gift from the church, especially from the house fellowship. This is MZPC Home Fellowship. So if you have not received one, please see Sister Maka or Adaize. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. We have seen that playlet or short drama. We're going to put those things together this morning, trusting the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for that playlet. Thank you for the message, oh God, that has been conveyed, that our heart can be a place where you live, and our home a place where you fellowship with us. Lord, we pray at this moment as we share your word, Holy Spirit, may you breathe upon us. May your word, oh God, become powerful in our lives. May you, God, convey to us your mind and your heart. Lord, even in this end time, Lord, I am but a vessel. I hide myself behind the cross. I ask you, God, that, Lord, you will speak forth. Lord, you will explain to us. Speak to each one of us in a language we understand. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. Forever your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Okay, this morning, I want to thank God for the opportunity again given to me. Thank God for our pastor and his wife. It's not always happening. That is why I've been a senior pastor in the church before. I know what it means. And I know what is obtainable somewhere else. It's not just your right to get to the pulpit. So we want to thank God for our pastor and his wife. Thank you for that great opportunity. Amen. I want us to see three passages this morning. Let's see Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 from verse 41 to 47, and Acts chapter 4. Well, because of time, let's just take Acts chapter 2 verse 44 to 47. Acts chapter 4, from verse 31 to 33. And then we'll take the other verses. Acts 2, 44 to 47. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Acts 4, 31 to 33. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more passage. That is 1 John chapter 4. It's a long one. 1 John chapter 4, 7, from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? 21 and the last verse there. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. The imperative love. The imperative love. Hallelujah. Father, thank you again. We bless you. Have your way. Take full control. Take all the glory. In Jesus' name. One thing that was so evident, that was so clear in the early church, is this that we're talking about, love. Right from the day of Pentecost, when the power of the Holy Spirit came down, and the 3,000 souls were won, and then from there you begin to see the move of God. You will see from the book of Acts, chapter 2, chapter 4, and in other verses and chapters later on, you will see this aspect of love in the midst of the believers. And because of the love of God, they were able to hold together the body, and then the convert that came in. The growth of the early church cannot be attributed to anyone but God. The Holy Spirit used the yielded verses and the fruit of the Spirit was evident in the believers as they nurtured the convert into maturity using the house fellowship and the temple before the persecution of Herod. That is, before the church was scattered. They were both meeting in the temple and in the house, in houses. Love, which is of great importance, was seen amongst believers. And this spiritual ingredient is needed today for growth and increase. We need love like never before. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to deposit this love, to make it grow in our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Like we were able to share that in our teaching two Wednesdays. Just look at a whole big fruit of an orange. Peel it, and then you're going to see the segments. It's just one whole fruit, but many segments. Hallelujah. That is what love is. Love, but many segments. And we're going to see that quickly this morning. But from the drama of the play that we just seen, we see love in action. That Lydia opened her heart, and then she opened her house. And then you see the verses that God used. They had a love for God, and that love propelled them to go out, to reach out to those who are yet to know Him. And that love is what worked in their heart to be able to go beyond the hurdles and the barricades. I pray that the Lord will walk in our home fellowship, in our lives, like never before, in Jesus' name. Because of our time, I will not go into, I have about six things I want to share about home fellowship and see where they were, how they grew, but no time for that. But let us look at what love really is, as demonstrated in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We didn't read that. I know we know that. And then from the teaching we had to Wednesdays, as we round up on that, what is love? And what are those segments that we saw in that teaching? Those of us who are not there, you'll get it as we are sharing this morning. Love is God, as we have read in 1 John. Love is God. And love seeks the good of others. When we are talking about love, I know the English word love is so general. But we have been able to see that love, we have four different Greek words that is translated or, you know, into our English word called love. We are not going into that this morning. We want to pick just a word, and that is agape, which talks about the love that seeks the good of others. The love that seeks the good of others. So from the book of John we have read this morning, God is love. So love is God seeking the good of all. You are myself. And that is why in John chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that scripture says that 1 John says, "Not that we first loved him, but he loved us." Why were yet sinners? The Bible says, "Why were yet sinners and rebellious? He sought for us who were not lovable, who were not people that anyone could embrace. In fact, we were rebellious against God. But he sought for us because he is agape. His love is not conditional. It's not based upon, okay, you love me, then I will love you back. Oh, when you have played good, when you are now nice, I can love you. Or when you prove to be a good boy, a good man, a good woman, then I will love you." No, he loved us with all our imperfections. He loved us just as we were. So he came seeking for us. God left everything, sent his son to seek for us. Hallelujah. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. Because this love we are talking about, agape, this love is non-partial and it's unconditional. It's not based upon, okay, if you are able to do this, then I will show you love. God is saying, no, I am not waiting for you. I come for you. Amen. Amen. And if you are here this morning, you have not embraced the love of God. He is seeking for you. He just wants you. And that is why he's beckoning of you every time, every moment. He wants to live in your heart. And if you can open your heart like the heart of Lydia, he will come in. And he will be your father. And he will change your heart. And he will make you a child of God. Let's go to John chapter 5, the Gospel according to St. John chapter 5. Verse 43 to 48. Let's get our mic ready. Whoever want to help us read so that I don't do the talking all alone. It's teaching through preaching this morning. So we can break. Let's look at John chapter 5 verses 43 to 48. 43 to 47. Thank you. Yes, please.
You will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from another one and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?
Thank you. I think that's a misquotation there, a misquote somehow. All right, don't worry. What you are looking at there is that God is a seeker without any condition. He didn't put any condition to get you. It's because of his love. So, what is love? Love is God seeking you and seeking for me. Number two, we see joy in that fruit of the Spirit. Still have that picture of that big fruit, all right? And then one segment is love that we are talking about. It's entire is love, but the segment is God seeking for you, God looking out for you, and God looking out for me. Then another segment is called joy. Now, what is joy? Joy is love in delight. Joy is love in delight. It delights. Expression of God's goodness. A deep, inspired happiness and well-being. That is what joy is. Now, that is love in expression. It's expressing itself in what? In delight. That is love expressing itself in delighting himself. That is what is called joy. Joy is love in delight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 7. Can we see that? 1 Corinthians 13 verse 7. 1 Corinthians 13 7. Yes, sir. That is love. That is, love. That is joy. All right? Joy is love in delight. He does what? He believes all things. He is joyful. He delights. He expresses himself in goodness. In goodness. Hallelujah. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. All right? Peace is love in calm and harmony. Do we get the second one? We see joy is love in delight. the expression of God's goodness, a deep inspired happiness and well-being. Now the third one is peace. What is peace? Peace is love in calm and harmony. So when I say the fruit of the Spirit, everything put together is just love. But then you see love expressing itself in different forms. Love expressing itself in joy. All right? And that joy is love in delight. You see love expressing itself through peace. And that peace is in calm and harmony. Hallelujah. It's talking about wholeness. It's talking about completeness. It's talking about inner satisfaction. A state of calm and quietness. That is what peace is. So when love is in calm, when love is in harmony, it is called peace. When love expresses itself in calmness, harmony, it is called peace. So peace is love in calmness and harmony. That same 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things. I think let's just read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I will read from here, from verse 1 to 13. We get this through. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Hallelujah. Amen. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide, how many things? Faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. You know why? Because the one and the second, they have met for today. All right? They serve now and they will end here on the earth. But the other one serves now and then goes beyond the present time, goes into eternity. Love lives forever. And that is why love is supreme. May the Lord plant love in our hearts. So peace is love in calm and harmony. Number 4, long suffering is love in patience. Long suffering, that is suffering for a long time, or suffer long, or it is long tempered. It's not short tempered. So long suffering is ability to endure for a longer time. It is long tempered. temperament. It is developing control emotion. That is love. When love is operating, you know, tempering itself, developing the control of the emotion is referred to as long suffering. That is love. But manifesting how? In patience. To God be the glory. I believe the Holy Spirit needs to work in our hearts. You know why? We are in the making. As long as we are here, and as long as we are in this temple, the Holy Spirit has a work to do in me and in you. Paul was writing to the Corinthians. Look, thank God for all the gift. They are beautiful. They are great. They are excellent. We need them. If we don't have them, we can't be what God wants us to be. But then that is not a measure. Those things are not to help us to show our measurement of our walk with God. It's just gifts. But what can be used to measure our walk with God is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. The fruit of the Spirit. If we lack the fruit of the Spirit, we may do all the gyration, we may cast out demons, we may do miracles, signs and wonders. That is not to show that we are not Christian, no. That is not to show either that we are very spiritual. It's just a gift. What will show that we are steady walking with God and we are like our Father in heaven is love. It's love. And we say today that what the world is craving for today is not just this inner quality. It's not just this inner imbued. It's not just this fruit of the Spirit. In fact, whenever you see people who have this, most of the time when we see people having this kind of gift, people say, no, I mean, people are not attracted. You know what I'm saying? We want to see somebody that when he comes in, the whole place is shaking. Want to see somebody when it comes in, no, one person is carrying the Bible, the other person is carrying this because the great anointing is there. And he shouts and people are falling down. Thank God for that. It's good. But like I said, it's gift that is meant for now. But there's something God wants us to have that will portray our Heavenly Father, His nature, His character in us, which is love. Which are those, you know, love, everything put together, those sediment, those nice sediment put together called love. All right? So long suffering is love in patience. We see that in verse 4. I've read that already. Love suffers long. Love suffers long. It's not quick tempered. It's not easily giving up. It doesn't give up on people. It's not short-tempered. It's long-tempered. It endures. It can put up with people who are difficult to live with, who are difficult to stay with. The next there is gentleness. Gentleness. Gentleness, under what kindness? Is love under control? Is love under control? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4b says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. So gentleness is love under control. When love shows itself in another way, in gentleness, is controlling itself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is God's strength under his control. Love. Gentleness is proactive, while meekness is reactive. Gentleness is proactive, while meekness is reactive. I mentioned this in the teaching. Gentleness will do something to prevent something from happening. Gentleness, we go before any incident. We make sure that that incident, negative incident, doesn't happen. All right, by proactively doing something to prevent it from happening. For example, you are looking at, let's just look at that camera. So maybe somebody hit it unknowingly, unconsciously. All right. Now, meekness, we try to repair what has happened. But gentleness will prevent it from happening. Praise the Lord. So gentleness goes ahead to do something, put some things in action to make sure it doesn't happen. But meekness is, well, it has happened, but then it knows how to make sure that it's taken care of in a meek way. Praise God. This is love. This is love. You know, expressing itself in gentleness. All right? When love begins to do that, is under control of God. And we need this in our Christian life. We need it every day. Hallelujah. Okay, then number six. If I'm able to finish this on time, I will go through my other parts of the scripture. Now, goodness is love in benevolence. Goodness is love in benevolence. Love in benevolence. Love gives, right? For God so loved the world, he gave. He did not hoard it. Because he's love, he gave. So love is goodness. Goodness is love in benevolence. It's, you know, we can say we love God and we don't give our time, we don't give our talent, we don't give our money, we don't. Everything is just me, my family, my all. No. If we have the love of God, it will teach us to give. Sometimes we say, well, God knows I don't have much. Mm-mm, it's not telling you to give what you don't have. I use an illustration during our teaching. We are blessed in this church to have a wonderful woman of God in this church who oftentimes, when she's coming, oftentimes I've seen her, not just me, I've seen her gives the last gift she gave me was honey. Onion. She wrapped in various bags and everything was she distributing to people in this church. She's just like that. That is love. Alright? That is goodness. And goodness is love in benevolence. Some they give their time to help you do one thing or the other. Some, you know, they give not only, you know, their time. They are ready to help you in whatever way they can. And some, as the Lord blesses, you just see them stretching their hands. Thank God for you. That is love. It gives. It blesses others. Kindness, desire, happiness for others. All right? God planned activity, or goodness planned activity to advance that happiness. Kindness. When you say somebody is kind, all right, you always wish, Bomati, I wish, oh yeah, may the Lord bless you. And we are kind to you. Kind word, kind action, and things like that. But you see, goodness, we plan activity to effect that good, that kindness. Amen. So when this begins to happen in our own fellowship, you're going to experience what the early church experienced. When we begin to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, amen? When you see joy, love, that is, now joy which is love in delight, when the disciples were beaten because they preached the gospel, and they told them, never you preach Jesus again. What happened? when they questioned them, never, we don't want to hear you preach Christ. They told them bluntly, you think about it, if it is right for us to obey man other than God, to obey man than, you know, rather than God. As for us, we cannot but obey God. And then when they released them to go, the Bible said they went to their group, home fellowship. They went to their center and they prayed. What was the prayer request? The prayer point. Lord, stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand in a mighty way. Do wonders. So that by your spirit, we will boldly proclaim Christ and him crucified. And the scripture says, when they have finished praying, the place where they prayed was shaken. And oftentimes, you know, they were happy. And the scripture said they counted themselves, you know, to have been blessed in that they partook of the pains and the persecution as a result of preaching the gospel. Joy came up. Joy came up. Fruit of the Spirit. That was love in action. They delighted in what they experienced because of Christ. The peace of God was in their heart. Even though they were punished for preaching, there was calmness. There was harmony. And they patiently went through all that they went through. And because of all that, the Bible says in that Acts chapter 2, verse 47, they were rejoicing, celebrating God. And God added to the church daily. Daily, not just once a week. May we come to that level in Jesus' name. Daily addition. As they were praising God, they have favor with God and with men. God began to add to the church daily. You know, men and women, such as were being saved. God gave us two souls yesterday. Well, maybe one was, he knew our pastor very well. James knew our pastor. James. So, now God used that to reach out. How we pray that we have 20. Amen. Amen. Now that is telling us twice now we have done picnic and there's no day we go out there, we have a fish. Maybe we should be having more picnics. All right. If that will give us some souls, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Hallelujah. So, as we begin to plan activity, things that we attract, not just together like we did, but even in our centers, let's plan something. We have kind of, well, yeah, my neighbor, I wish they are blessed. Let's plan something in our centers also that we attract our neighbors or that we can invite people to attend and then they will meet with Christ. You see, it's not only telling people you must be saved, you must be born again, and then we preach, you know. It could just be that kindness, that act of kindness that will touch their heart. So, goodness should not just be something that shows up once a while. It should be something that is part of our lives. May God help me. May God help us so that goodness will be a way of living for us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We have faith. That's number 7. Faith or faithfulness is love in trustworthiness. Faith is love in trustworthiness. Verse 8 says, love never fails. Love never fails. You can trust any time, any day. He's talking about trueness. He's talking about trustworthiness. He's being loyal without wavering. Without wavering. We ask this question in our teaching. If everyone were as faithful as I am, what kind of church would this be for God? If everyone is as faithful as I am, as you are, what kind of church would MZPC be for God? Amen. Number 8, meekness is love bridled. Meekness is love bridled. It's love bridled. I want us to read James chapter 1. James 1:26. If you have NIV, just help us read James 1:26 NIV version. James chapter 1. Let me read it. Who is reading? Anybody with NIV? King James. Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we still have NIV? Anybody with NIV? Thank you, sir. Yes. So he's talking about, see, meekness is love bridled. Saying that love doesn't do all the talking. Well, not all the talking is foolish talking, right? But it's also saying, even some good talking, all right? There are times when the Holy Spirit will put a check. I say, that is enough, son. That is enough, daughter. Amen. So, when we look at meekness, that is love bridled. That is love that has bridled itself. Does it do all the talking? You don't have to be a commentator. You don't have to be a radio moody. Once you can't say, ah, it's here. You know, because you have to do all the commentary and do all the talking and that. No. So because in the multitude of words, sin will not be lacking. So love is what it is. But when he shows himself as meekness, then he bridles himself. So, inner strength to control one's emotion, tongue, and behavior. That is what meekness is. Last there before I jump to another thing. Temperance. Temperance, in another word, is self-control. Self-control. Now, temperance is love, mastery. M-A-S-T-E-R-Y. It's love. Temperance is love, mastery. It's ability to master, to be in command of yourself, over appetite, over passions, over things. So when love, you know, shows itself as temperance, he is mastering. Is being in command, is being, you know, under control of so many things, actions, personal, you know, appetite, and so many things. So when love shows itself as temperance or self-control, he makes sure that he masters everything. He masters himself, his appetite, his emotion, his behavior, and on. Hallelujah. And the conclusion of that that Galatians chapter 5, it says that, let's go there. Galatians 5. Somebody shout hallelujah. All right, I'm ready to do this. It's not preaching, it's teaching. So that 22, hands up, 23, said gentleness, self-control. He said, against such, there is no law. Against all these, there is no law. All these, from verse 22 to 23, all these that have been enumerated, that is love in action. Against all these, the fruit of the Spirit, there is no what? Against such, there is no law. Hallelujah. But then if one has not gotten to a level where this fruit is developed, because we mentioned it that, look, every born again Christian, the day you are born again, the Holy Spirit deposited this fruit in you, as well as the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. All right? Then we must grow. We must grow to experience the maturation of this fruit of the Spirit. And where growth is not happening, or where we have, you know, the growth is stunted, you know, stunted because of lack of the Word of God, lack of consecration, reading the Scripture, and then what will happen is automatically, verses 19 to 21 will begin to take place. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things, from verse 19 to 21, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So where the fruit of God is not in play, it's not practical, it's not evident. Verses 19 and to 21 will be evident, because that is just automatic. We're born with that one. It's a sinful nature. All right? But the only thing that will counter this one, verses 19 to 21, is the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit walking in us. And then those fruit growing in us, we begin to see love manifest in different segments, as joy, as peace, as long-suffering, as meekness, as peace, as gentleness, as goodness, faith, and temperance. It's love growing. So if you peel an orange and you remove the back, and you see out of maybe 12 segments in it, and only three grew, only three segments grew to maturity, and the others are stunted, something is wrong with that fruit. Because under normal circumstance, when you take an orange, if that orange has grown and it's manifesting, it's showing itself as an orange that has matured before it was, you know, harvested, all the segments will grow normally. They will all be the same. You see all the segment. So all the segment, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, everything will grow. And that is the goal of the Father, is the goal of our God, that we grow and be like Him. Be like Him in love. Be like Him, you know, in joy. That doesn't mean that we don't have challenges, we don't have things that sometimes touches our emotions, but we don't stay there. It doesn't mean that we don't have pains. No, we don't stay there. That is not our usual place of habitation. We just got there as a result of circumstance or situation. We get out of it. Because the normal place where you operate from is the place where love dwells. And that is God Himself. And He dwells in your heart. And if He dwells in your heart, when you are out there, you are not out of God. When the challenges come, all right, you find yourself back, because it's going to help you back to that place. Our home fellowship, God has raised our home fellowship centers as a place where God wants us to demonstrate this grace, this gift. Amen. 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 I'm going to quickly go through in 10 minutes. Amen. The day of Pentecost, when the disciples, you know, 3,000 souls, and then thousands, and on, they were able to hold them together through the power of the Holy Spirit and love. That went on. In Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, you will see what happened when the persecution that came from Herod began to take place. Herod persecuted the church. James was killed. And then he took Peter, put him in prison, with the hope that after the feast, he too will be killed. And what happened to the whole fellowship? The whole fellowship in Mary's house, they were praying fervently. The house fellowship church in Mary's house. The Mary here is talking, that is the mother of John Mark. There was home fellowship in her house. They were praying fervently. Read from verses 12 to 13, you see them praying. So this is the mother of John Mark. They prayed until there was a miracle and Peter was released. And when Peter was released, where did he go? Straight to the home fellowship. Because he knew there he will find what? Love, comfort, support, and acceptance. He went there. That is what our home fellowship should be. A place where people can run into and they find security. They find acceptance. They find whatever may have happened outside. Let them run there. Let them find what? Refuge. Let them find peace. Let them find acceptance. Let them find, you know, comfort. And, you know, and let the people embrace them. Whoever. It should not be a place where people say, oh, fellowship, what are they doing there? It should not be a place where we kill with our tongue. Should be a place where we bless. Should be a place where that is open, that people can come into and they know that they are being prayed for, they are being loved, they are being accepted. Peter went there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 19, Paul made reference to the home fellowship in the house of Priscilla and Aquila. Now, if you read the book of Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 5, you will see a reference again to Priscilla and Aquila. And these people, Paul found Priscilla and Aquila, according to Acts chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. All right? Paul and Silas have been imprisoned. And supernaturally, they were delivered. And what happened? After their deliverance, they went. They came to the house of Priscilla and Aquila. Amen. And according to Acts chapter 18 verse 18, they found encouragement. And right there, when they came to Priscilla and Aquila, this same couple, is like they, wherever they go, they start a new fellowship. Because if you read those scriptures, you find that it's not only in this place that they had a house fellowship. Wherever they go, they start house fellowship. And in the course of they living for God, opening their house, they found a young man so powerful in the scripture called Apollos. But the Bible tells us that Apollos, being a young man, he knew the scripture, but he had never, you know, he wasn't brought up in the way. That is, he knew the preaching of John the Baptist and the whole Testament. And so Priscilla and Aquila took him and they expanded the word of God to him, truly. They expanded the way unto him. So, in one word, our own fellowship should be a place where we raise up young people. We should build them up. We should build them up in Christ. We should encourage them. We should open them up for the word. Let the word of God dwell in them. Let's give them opportunity to serve. Let's give them opportunity. Let them see us doing it, and then we ask them, do it, and they grow. Should be a place where life, right? Where we, our life begin to challenge the young ones coming. Hallelujah. Amen. The drama we watched this morning that we saw is the house fellowship in Lydia's house. Acts chapter 16 verse 40. Now, what happened? Paul and Silas came to that fellowship after they had been released from prison. Don't forget, earlier on, Lydia had been converted. But later on, according to verse 40, when Paul and Silas had been released from the prison, where do they go to? They went to Lydia's house. Home fellowship should be a place where people who are battered outside come in and they are strengthened. So are battered by the things, the problem of the world, the challenges of the world, where the enemy had crushed them and said, you can't make it at war, you can't make it anywhere. They are rejected by men, but home fellowship should be a place where they find refuge. And the Bible says when they came in there, Paul and Silas had fellowship, and after encouraging the brethren, they left to another home fellowship. Because in those days, They were not talking about building. They're not talking about church building. They're talking about fellowship. Now this fellowship grew to become churches. And that is the goal here. Let us grow until we become local churches. Amen. Amen. And that's what, you know, vision of Pastor Obi. Every center can grow to become a local church. So God has appointed you that you are a pastor. God has given you some sheep. Take care of them. Nurture them. Pray for them. Let them find security. Let them find nurture. Let them find encouragement. Let them find peace. Let them have the confidence that when they are beaten outside, they come in, they will be accepted. They will be loved. They will be prayed for. They will be encouraged. Not that, why did you do that? Eh? It's not that they were beaten outside and they came in, we also beat them again. No. We should do what, no matter what happened outside, we should embrace them. We should love them unconditionally. That is agape. Agape. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 15 to 16, you are going to find a house fellowship in Nymphas. Nymphas house fellowship. Nymphas. Now this is a house fellowship that grew up to become a church that was referred to later on as the Laodicea Church. The church that wasn't hot or cold, unfortunately. But it started like house fellowship, right? But later, because they did not continue in the strength. But what you are looking at here is that there was a center. It was a place of encouragement. When you read that portion, you will see encouragement, you will see bread breaking, you will see fellowship, breaking of bread from house to house. The last one I'm going to mention before we pray is the house fellowship church in the house of Philemon and Appius. Philemon chapter 1, it's only one chapter, verses 1 and 2. I want us to read it because of the emphasis that Paul laid. Paul made strong emphasis on some qualities that should be found in us. Philemon, it's only one chapter. Let us read verses 1, and then we're going to verses 1 to 2. Let's just read verses 1 to 7. Go to read. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Philemon is after Titus. All right. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Now it is historically believed that Archippus, he had been the son of, let me look at my note very well, possibly Archippus, who happened to be Paul's co-worker, was his son to this couple, Philemon and Appia. Alright? So, Paul was now writing to Philemon and to his wife Appia and to their son Archippus, who happened to be a co-laborer with Paul, and to the church in their house, your own fellowship. Say, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayers. Verse 5. Look at it. Verse 5. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. May that be written about us, that the heart of saints have been refreshed by you and by me. Lastly, as I asked a question, I wasn't sure. Was there a house fellowship in Joppa? Not stated, but the Bible said there were so many disciples in Joppa. So when Dorcas died, they sent to who? To Peter. So was there home fellowship? I want to assume, since there were so many disciples in Joppa, there was. has fellowship in Joppa. According to Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 43. The question this morning is this. If we do not be like our Heavenly Father, if we do not practice love, or if love is not what comes out of us, if love is not a product of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and the work of God as we abide in Him in obedience, reading the scripture, believing and setting ourselves as apart, you know, to God. If love is not in display, the tendency for the flesh, Galatians 5, 19 to 21, the tendency for that to begin to come up might be there. And then according to 1 John chapter 4, we have read, if we do not manifest love, then we have not shown a sign, a proof that we are of God. The only evidence that can show, apart from that, well, I'm born again, I know that, you know, and then we speak in tongues. Apart from all that, what people will see that we attract them into the body of Christ. It's not just our speaking in tongues, our prayer can bring them, God will do something in their heart, but it's when they see a life that is attractive, a life that display, that shows the love of God. I pray this morning that God will walk in me, will walk in your heart. Help us to continue to grow in this love. And whenever Galatians 5, 19 to 21 want to come up, may we kill it by allowing love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I ask, oh God, Holy Spirit, go beyond what I can explain. I ask, oh God, that you walk in our hearts. I ask, oh God, that our heart, oh God, become the plantation field where you plant all these fruits with all the sediments. May the world see us and say, like the early disciples, these are Christians. Not by the big Bible we carry, not by the speaking in tongues, not by whatever we may have demonstrated, by our clothing, by whatever. Let it be, oh God, by genuine love from our hearts. Help us, oh God. We need you. We need you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Take all the glory. In Jesus' name.